Who art thou? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Democrats have developed of late a true propensity for extreme identity politics. Oh, it's been standard business for a long time for both political parties. In order to maintain themselves in the ruling class in power, they pigeonhole people and use propaganda. If you're, in the old days it was, if you are a Northerner, a Catholic, a union member, a worker, well, you need to vote for the Republicans. If you're white and you're Protestant, well then, and you've got a upper middle class job, well, you need to be a Republican. But in the last elections, they left behind all of their old allies, the working class, even the old standard issue race agitators who stir things up every 4 years, in order to concentrate on perversities and bathrooms and all of the rest. And all Trump did, I think, was to talk, good sense, with humor, about the gods, or maybe the goddess of liberalism, with all of those lies and crimes. And I think he was surprised that the people flocked to hear him. Why? Why, this is not who we are. Not yet, anyway. And he got himself elected, leaving the identity fearmongers behind him in the dust. Identity. Who are you? Today, of course, all the rage is to remake yourself at will by fiat. Thinking makes it so, and the rest of us are meant to acknowledge it. That old sin goes back to the garden, doesn't it? Genesis. Ye shall be as gods. But the gospel question rings true. Who are you, really? Last week, John sent his followers to Jesus to ask that question. Today, the Jews send priests and Levites, Pharisees, to John. But it's the same inquiry. It's identity. The moderns would say, gently, especially if you're dealing with snowflakes, do you self-identify as the Christ or Elias or the prophet? If so, well, we've got a safe place for you someplace. But John, that's his style. He's brusque. He's too straightforward, you know, ever to have been a politician. He confessed and did not deny. Meanwhile, St. Paul, over in the epistle, is still in a conciliatory mood as he was last Sunday. He keeps plugging for civility. Epikesis is the Greek. Modesty we have in our traditional translation from the Latin. It means a kind of a forbearance and affability, a kindness. Though, plain old modesty, however, modesty in speech and discussion, and yes, in dress, is by no means excluded. It's a good old American quality. And I think that Trump, for all of his hubris, his exaggeration at times, does show it in another sense. So, answer the question modestly. Who are you? I am as God made me, male or female. I am as God remade me, as he redeemed me, baptized me into the body, the mystical body of his son, the church. Who am I? Why, I am a Catholic. And with all modesty, I must say, there is only one true church. The first mark of this church is unity. The definition of unity is the quality of being one or undivided. The identity people divide everybody up by race or by religion or by location or today perversion in order that they may subjugate them, divide and conquer, the oldest rule in the book. And the socialist written Pledge of Allegiance proclaims our nation to be indivisible. But what about the sovereign states that make it up? But if you're looking for indivisibility, for unity, you want the church, and not any church, the Catholic Church. You know, for all of our divisions, splits, and parties today, if we are Catholics, we are one. It is the first of the four marks our Blessed Savior prayed at the Last Supper in John 17. May they be one, Father, as I in thee and thou in me. Unity. After all, what goes to make up a religion? Why, it's a group of people who are united about the three C's. Code and creed and cult, as they say in the first code. We follow the same commandments, the same moral code, the same rules and regulations, canon law. Second, creed, we follow the same belief, firm, fixed, and unchanging, century to century. And thirdly, cult. Now, cult, of course, does not mean cult. Beware the tendency, though, in the church's eclipse, blindly to follow one man or one group, to identify yourself exclusively with them and not with the church. It is, I think, sometimes far easier to run a cult than to be a Catholic, you know, with mind control and lots of guilt and pressure and demonizing your enemies and everything, but that's not right. That's not how religion is meant to be. No, cult comes from the Latin cultus, meaning worship, one worship. And how we Catholics used to glory in that, and those who are still Catholics today still do. You can find the same Holy Mass in the same language throughout the world, in Mexico or Nigeria or France or Poland. And the same seven sacraments, the same sacred liturgy, still today, unchanged. It's just rarer. You have to go out of your way. It's harder to find. Where are you going to find it? Well, you won't find it with the Protestant churches. We saw that last week. They vary so from church to church and minister to minister. And in the new way, the Novus Ordo, it is exactly the same thing. They run the gamut. You might go to one church one Sunday if you're in the new religion, and it sounds pretty much like the old faith. And the next Sunday, if you go to a different one, it will be Pentecostal. And then there'll be a third where the priest will be preaching global warming to you and earth worship. And for worship itself, it could be everything from a Latin Mass that looks pretty much like the old days, except for something. Or it could be something, again, which looks pretty much like a standard Protestant service. And for the question of the Pope, well, better not to mention that at all, not in polite society. What about us? What about traditional Catholics? Well, simply, if you're not getting your three vitamin C's, creed, code, and cult, somebody's not Catholic. And it's time for you to move on. And people do. Catholicism, you know, is of a limited elasticity. You can stretch it only so far. And when it's reached that point, it's going to snap back at you. To summarize our catechism question today, how is the church one? The church is one because all her members agree in one faith, have all the same sacrifice and sacraments, and are all united under one head. Unity is the first mark by which the true church may be known. Our Lord did not and he could not make two religions, certainly not hundreds of religions. There aren't even two faiths or two roads to heaven, just the one. All members agree in faith, for our blessed Savior, remember we saw this last week, is the fulfillment of the prophets. There can be no difference in dogma or doctrine amongst the members of the church. Everywhere the same truths are taught and received, handed down these truths from the ages, the same revelation. All accept the same interpretation of the scriptures or of tradition. Everyone, the very, very learned and the very, very simple, all believe the same creeds, all submit to the same rule or code of morals. And the church, perforce, must cut off from her communion those whose beliefs are different from hers. That's Catholicism. We all, as we've seen, have the same worship and are united finally, for our Lord is not only prophet and priest, but he is king. We are united under one head. Consider the admirable order and harmony with which our Savior established his church, the Pope and the bishops and the priests and the people. The same order as you will find in the human body, St. Paul teaches. Every nation and class, although differing in language and in laws and customs, certain ways, human traditions, tradition with a small t, all submit to the same authority. How different the field of Catholicism is from one nation to another. I've seen that in my travels. And yet if they're Catholic, they're Catholic. The one true Church of Christ. So if you're asked sometimes, well, but what are you? I'm a Catholic. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.